Thanks for being with me. Hey, coming up just before the end of the show, we're going to talk about, maybe this is a real hopeful kind of way to go. What kinds of things do you think in the future, when you're not thinking about it at all, might suddenly remind you of the pandemic? I say hopeful because I'm looking toward the end of this thing. Little tokens and things that, my producer Becky gave a great example, and that is that, you know, 5-6 years from now, you're going through some old stuff, you're going through a coat or whatever, and you reach in the pocket and you feel something, and instead of it being that $20 bill you forgot, which is always a nice surprise, it's a mask. And you go, oh yeah, you used to have to tote one of these things around all the time. We're going to talk about that coming up just before the end of the show at 11:50. But right now, there's an article here from the Toronto Star. Cannabis boom bust cycle has a hidden victim, workers. Former pot farm workers battle to recoup thousands in unpaid wages in a bankruptcy process they say is stacked against them. Now, this has to do with a 1.3 million square foot cannabis greenhouse built just north of Leamington, $80 million bank loan. The thing went bust and the workers are now trying to get paid. Joining me to talk about this, lecturer with Ryerson University, cannabis business expert, Brad Pulitz. Welcome back to the show, Brad.
Hi, Jerry.
Okay, part of this is probably a labor law aspect, which isn't for you and me, it's for Howard Levitt. But I always thought if there is any money, creditors and workers get paid.
They're certainly supposed to. So there is some provisions in the federal regulations that would allow for them to receive some severance. And the other thing is that if you can get a hold of them, the directors might be liable for some of this as well. It could be a huge liability for some of those directors if they didn't resign in time.
Well, did some people get way too enthusiastic about the potential for profit in legalized cannabis?
Yeah, we've talked about that one before, right, Jerry? Yeah, absolutely. So the hype around this industry back in 2017, 18 was just, you know, beyond anything I've ever seen in my life, other than possibly the dot-com era of the late 90s. So absolutely. And we're seeing the effects of that now, not just in terms of things like what happened at this greenhouse, but the stocks are being hammered. The management are being pressured to leave. There's virtually none of the founder CEOs in this industry still running these companies. And that says a lot, I think. There were a lot of players in this game that were pure stock promoters. And once that opportunity left, they left.
Well, I wonder if this is something that's unique to this emerging market of legalized cannabis, or does any emerging market work that way? All kinds of people get excited, and maybe people who didn't stop and take the amount of time they should have to do their due diligence just charged in with all kinds of money, and so some failures were inevitable.
Absolutely. Yes. So anytime you've got an industry that's growing at the rate that cannabis did or that even promises to, you're going to see all kinds of money pile in. Institutional to some degree, when you see a lot of retail, which would mean people like just you and me buying these stocks, that's usually a sign that something's wrong. So there's just, too much hype around the industry. And it's quite common for that to happen. It also, as I mentioned, it tends to attract people that are just purely stock promoters and don't have any expertise or intention of actually building and running a really great business. The companies that stayed private, actually the ones that resisted that pressure to go public back in the 2016, 17, 18 timeframe, some of them are actually doing quite well.
I'm talking to Brad Pulitz, lecturer with Ryerson University. He's a cannabis business expert, joins us from time to time. In this case, an article in The Star talking specifically about an $80 million bank loan to finance Farmhouse's venture was in 2019 among the largest ever offered in the cannabis industry, a 1.3 million square foot cannabis greenhouse built on fertile farmland just north of Leamington. What went wrong specifically in this instance?
They're just part of the general oversupply problem that cannabis probably still has. I don't think it's worked out yet. certainly at the time of legalization, which I'll remind you was October of 2018, there was, I'll give you a sense of the numbers. At the time, the demand for cannabis was somewhere around 1 million kilograms per year. And I did some math, and actually in the summer of 2017, so a good year and a bit prior to legalization, the top two players alone had capacity either built or on the books to be built that to satisfy that 1 million kilograms. It would have only taken the top two, which happened to be at the time Canopy Growth and Aurora, and there were 128 licensees at the time. So I was left wondering what the other 126 were going to do. That still hasn't fully shaken out.
Well, Dan from Barrie sends a text message. Nearly every strip plaza in Barrie has a cannabis store in it, and more are opening all the time. How can they compete?
Well, that's a separate issue, which, again, you and I have talked about. So we've got an oversupply problem at the licensed producer level. So that these are the manufacturers of cannabis.
The growers.
Yeah. And and we also have too many retail stores. Certainly in Ontario, we have way too many retail stores. They're not all going to make it. There's no way they can. And we're going to see a similar shakeout that to the one that we're seeing in the production side soon.
Now, is that something that government should manage to a certain degree by licensing, or especially at the retail end, should they just license anybody that wants to, like you would with restaurants? Are there going to be too many restaurants? Right now there aren't, but you know what I mean. Are there going to be too many restaurants? Well, that's the restaurateur's problem. If you jump through all of the proper legal and financial hoops here, we'll give you a license. Should they do that with the cannabis stores, and then it'll shake itself out?
No, I don't think so. I'm a believer in free markets. So I think you are too. It's if I think that I can compete with the big guys and I find some real estate that's down the road from them, why should the government stop me from doing that? So I wouldn't suggest it. I do a lot of startup consulting, and I regularly get approached by individuals or groups of people that would like to start a retail store. And if they're in Ontario, I just advise them that I won't work with you because I can't take your money. And I just suggest that you find something else to do with your money. But I certainly am not a fan of having governments decide, you know, who wins and who loses. I didn't like the fact that the government started this with a lottery and essentially decided, you know, who won and who lost. Yeah. I'm a big believer in letting the market shake this out.
Now, somebody writes, I can grow my own pot. It's not that hard. That's true, but I think most people just won't bother.
That's right. And it's not, anybody can grow pot. Not anybody can grow good pot. Okay. There is a difference. So, you know, the quality coming out of the licensed producers has really, really increased over the past couple of years since legalization. And the big three problems that the legal market had out of the gate was choice, price, and access. So, you know, and that's retail stores. Well, we solved that one for sure. So retail stores, we have plenty of those. The choice thing has definitely improved, especially since Cannabis 2.0, which was December of 2019, where we brought in stuff like edibles and all of, you know, that stuff. And then the last one, price, the legal market has done a really good job of driving the prices down, despite the overtaxation of this industry, in my opinion. So they've managed actually to turn the corner, and the legal market is now greater than 50% of the of the total. So obviously it's very difficult for you to do that at home.
Yeah, I predict, and this will take a few years for this to happen, but I predict, as they have done with cigarettes, that they will soon enough overtax, and then, you know, we'll start getting, then the reserves can sell illegal pot the same way they sell illegal cigarettes. But sure. Brad Poulos is an expert on this, lecturer with Ryerson University. Always appreciate having you. Thanks very much.
Anytime. Thanks, Jerry.